Hello and welcome to another episode of the SGR Coffee Break. This is episode 8, which, despite what Carrie wants to tell you, now makes this an official thing.
All right, fine. It's an official thing. We've been going for 2 months now. All right, I'll take it.
There you see, hey, we said at the beginning of this, if we made it to 8 episodes, we would call it an official thing. So it is officially a thing.
I figure as often as I keep putting it in my calendar and then CCing you on there and you keep accepting, we'll just keep doing it.
Until we get sick and tired of each other, because we do 2 podcasts a week now. So, you know.
Yeah, but this one's just more of like the kind of a fireside chat in a way. And then the other one is like, let's see how much we can gang up on Blake while we're both drunk.
Oh, see, I thought it was just a reason to drink even more.
It's like, it's the only way I get to drink in front of friends, because I don't get to see my real life friends. So I have to Skype to drink with people. It's sad. So it happens when you're a parent.
Hey, on the plus side, we're both drinking. So even if, you know, we're not on Skype, we're still drinking together. So we are not alcoholics because we are drinking together.
This is true.
So there we go.
There's no alcohol in this one today.
Yeah, there's none in this one either. This is just.
I'll save that for at least 3 o'clock. I mean, come on. What? I'm not an animal.
Go at noon. You start with a beer at noon and just trickle down from there. You just
see. I would take a nap. And then how would the Dragon Ages get played, Chris? How would it get played?
Yeah, I'm not seeing a problem here. Because the rum isn't going to drink itself. So how does the rum get drunk? How does the rum get gone if you don't drink it?
I thought that was a big quandary from Pirates of the Caribbean. But why is all the rum gone?
See?
So you don't want to drink it because you don't want it to be gone. See, I'm confused.
The funny thing is I just go down the store just down the block and they always have more. Amazing.
It's like magic fridge.
It is. So,
while we're talking about, you know, drinking alone. Let's shift over to the holiday of this week, which is Valentine's Day. And the reason why I opted to make this a topic is because I'm surprised I haven't seen any features yet, but maybe I'll wait till Friday. It's usually around this time of year. All these features pop up of how to get your significant other to play games with you, or games you can play with your significant other, or romantic games you can play, which makes me vomit to all of it. So I was going to write a feature for Action Trip about why you shouldn't encourage your significant other to play games with you, and it ended up getting into very lectury, like, you guys are all losers territory, and so I just, like, okay, we're not doing that, I'll do something else. But, and I don't mean that, no, you guys are not all losers, it's a personal thing with me. But so I was wondering, from talking to you last week, do you play games with your significant other?
Funny thing about that is that, yes, we actually do play games together. And my wife and I met because she made a comment about my DS, which was on the corner of randomness last week. But after we started dating, we were living in Georgia at the time, and she had lost her job in Georgia, so she took a job in Missouri. And, you know, we were still relatively new. We were like a month, month and a half into our dating thing, right? And so we decided that I don't like talking on the phone, and we both were playing World of Warcraft at the time. So what we would do is every night, we would meet at the inn at the Barons, and this is back in the day when Barons chat was hilarious. Mm-hmm. And then we would just grind out quests and go questing and play World of Warcraft together. And that was basically how we communicated and did our long distance kind of dating thing. This is in between all the flights and everything else back and forth. But mm-hmm. So World of Warcraft was our love connection.
You guys play StarCraft together still, right?
We haven't, because we both got a little burnt out on it when we started trying to get like really good at it. So like we were playing an obscene amount of hours. What have we played recently?
Like, do you guys, like, I know that she travels a lot. Like, she's gone for weeks at a time. So, is that how you guys still, like, kind of keep up instead of, like, talking on the phone or texting? You just WoW or anything together?
Not really anymore. Because her job right now has got her so busy that usually by the time she gets done working, has dinner, and gets back to the room, she usually just takes a shower and goes to bed.
Yeah, it sounds about like what Sean does when he goes out of town. So he and I rarely talk when he's out of town. He's just too busy.
We send, like, the good morning text messages, and, you know, that's probably about it. We may talk to each other, like, once every 2 or 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, she's in hotels, which, you know, hotel internet, just, that's...
blows.
Yeah, that sucks. So playing video games on that is pretty bad. Like, she tried, we were going to play, it was in her StarCraft time. She went to download it at a hotel while she was working, and it took her like 2.5 days.
Oh my god.
Fucking game downloaded from the hotel. And it was just like, wow, that's horrible. And then we tried playing together, and it was just so laggy that it didn't really work out. So, yeah. So we don't really use the video games now as that kind of communication. Now we do things like play Defense Grid 2 together. And then she's actually... it's terrible because she's like... She'll be like, I finally beat you. And I was like, what do you mean you finally beat me? She's like, yeah, your Defense Grid score? I had to go play, but it took me 2 hours, but I beat your score. So I'm back on top.
Wow. Almost sounds like Blake with pinball.
Yeah. She gets pretty competitive with that. And then, like, so we can do the co-op stuff with that. She actually will watch me play games as well. If I be good in the games, as opposed to people. So, like, when I was playing Infamous, she sat, the very first Infamous, she, like, don't play the game without me, because I wanted to see the story. So she did that. As some people may have heard from a long time ago on the Evil Cast, we were both playing Final Fantasy 13, and she saved over my game.
Oh, I forgot about that story.
Yep. And now that she's on Steam, because that's where Defense Grid 2 is that we're mm-hmm. playing it on, she just downloaded it's a really good strategy game too, and it's from Sega, and it starts with a V. Sorry, it completely slips my mind, but we both played it on PS3 a long time ago.
Is it Vibribbon?
No, it's like Valkyria Chron. No, it's not that. You know what? I'll just open up Steam. But
And then as we watch our video feed, just go to shit. You know whose fault it is? It's Chris's.
Well, you know, hey, whatever. I don't have any games patching, so there's that.
Ah, all right, that helps.
Valkyria Chronicles.
Oh gosh, I don't know why. Okay.
Apparently, I knew it, and I just didn't want to solidify it.
Totally forgot about that game. Yeah.
It's a really, really good game, and we both played
it. People say that, and I tried it, but like I think I did the demo years ago, and it just wasn't for me. I'm guessing because it's more tactical RPG, and I mean the art style is amazing.
Oh yeah, the art style is great. The story is pretty decent too, and this was one that me and Megan both had to fight over the PS3 when it came out because we both wanted to play it.
Mm-hmm.
So I just ultimately resorted to playing on my DS and playing in a different room so I didn't have to hear the story while she was playing. So.
Oh, funny.
So, yeah, I'm pretty lucky. My wife and I, we both play games.
Well, that's how you guys met, so that's... It's a slightly different story. My situation, Sean used to play games. And I was not a gamer. I had my original NES in college. Everyone knew to come over to my house if you wanted to play some Dr. Mario and Fester's Quest, and just we would just see like how far you could get before dying because that game was brutally hard, and you know, things like that. But his roommate had a PlayStation 1. Yes, that's just how old I am. That's what we had at the time, the PlayStation 1. He got addicted to Siphon Filter, and if anyone talks to me about, like, you know, how you met and everything. You know that we broke up over Siphon Filter, or we almost broke up over Siphon Filter, because he forgot a date from playing Siphon Filter. Yeah. And how we made peace with Siphon Filter was actually my firstborn son is named after the main character in Siphon Filter. So that's how we made peace with that. That is still, like, a game that he still loves. I put it on PSP, and he'll play with my PSP every now and then, like all three of the games. So he's still, because right now, it's just not meant to be on HD TVs. It does not look pretty, and it's so pixelated, it's really hard to see what you're doing, so it's perfect for the PSP. But he used to be really hardcore in here. In fact, I bought the PlayStation 2 for him, because my whole thing was, like, I'll get the PlayStation 2 for him, I can buy him the Siphon Filter games, he can actually play those and finish them, because he didn't finish them back then, and we now have a DVD player. You know, I win, he wins. Then he got shipped off to Afghanistan because we got married, like, right 1 month before 9/11 happened. So he goes off to Afghanistan that next January. He's gone for 6 months, and I had my grad school friend move in with me, and she had a PlayStation 2. She was hardcore into games. Like, she would come into class half the time, like, bleary-eyed, because she was up till 2 o'clock in the morning playing Final Fantasy X. Because she's one of those who plays Final Fantasy, we got to get all the Ultima weapons, do every little thing. And so that way the final boss is like, you sneeze on him and he's done. So she was talking, she's like, okay, I know you don't play games anymore. Because I told her about my story with 007 and N64. That was my last time I'd played, like, a modern-ish console. She's like, well, why don't we play Gauntlet together? Gauntlet Seven Sorrows. And that is what got me back in. She bought me Kingdom Hearts for my birthday that year, and it's just, and then pretty soon Sean wasn't playing the PS2 anymore. And yeah, and then, you know, I bought the PS3. His uncle bought for me the Xbox 360. He and I do not play games together, because the last time we tried to play a game together, we were playing Gears of War 2. And I fired him for sucking too hard. Like, at one point, I actually dropped the controller and was like, really? You just died again? And the thing is, like, I had the difficulty turned down to easy because he kept dying so much.
Oh, man, that new bitch.
Yeah, so, yeah, I wasn't very nice about that. So, like, he's like, you didn't really fire me. He comes home one day and I'm playing it. He's like, you did fire me. I was like, yep, we're done. And so, no, we do not play video games together at all. He doesn't even watch me play. He'll watch me play. He used to watch me play, but back when he was watching me play, I was playing hardcore JRPGs. So he was like watching me play Lost Odyssey. And he watched the cutscenes because they were beautiful. And then I get to a battle scene, like, well, I'm done. Because, seriously, no one likes watching turn-based battle. It is boring. And this was traditional turn-based. So, where, you know, battles would take 30 minutes to an hour.
Well, you got to plan everything out.
Well, yeah. Or die. And then, you know, restart it. Be like, okay, now I know what to do. You know, because those can't take magic. And he'd just be like, yeah, I'm out. I'm done. And, So, yeah, no, he does not watch me play. I think the last one he watched me played was Bulletstorm. He happened to come in the room, and he heard the colorful language in that, and then sat down just because he just wanted to see what they were going to say next.
Oh, that game had such great dialogue.
Oh, yeah. He came in while I was playing Bayonetta and was like, what the fuck are you playing? I was like, go away, go away, go away. Just don't even look at what's going on the screen. And he did. I was playing Mass Effect 2 for the first time, is when my consoles were still in the living room, and he came home right as I was, you know, starting the romance with Garrus. And he's like, well, hey, what's going on in here? And I, like, sunk down on the couch, my face is all bright red, like, just go away. It's like, you know, got caught with porn or something. But so, no. We, like, every now and then, like, I'll be like, you have to play this game, but we do not play together. And he will kick me out of a room if I try to watch him play, because I will backseat drive.
Oh, you're one of those people.
Well, because I've already played it. So I'm like, well, if you go over there, there's this. He's like, shut up and leave. I'm like, okay, fine.
No backseating carry. Bad, bad carry.
Well, he's so out of practice.
Hey.
I try to help and yeah.
That doesn't matter. He's trying to have fun. And you know what? You would get banned on Twitch. On a lot of Twitch channels, you would be banned for that naughty act.
Yeah,
I'm
probably
pointing like this just to drive the point home. See?
got
Naughty.
it. Yes, I'm sorry. But actually, but you know, I can't even play games with my son because he drives me insane. Like I'm like we're trying to play Lego games together, and I'm like, oh no, I need to get all the studs because that's how you buy stuff and everything. He just moves me on to the next and starts a cutscene. I'm like, dude,
Carrie,
what?
we need to have an intervention.
I've just
You've
come.
become that gamer.
I have just accepted it that I am a fucking delight and everybody else sucks. So, I play alone. But honestly, one reason why I don't play games with my husband or anything is that that is kind of my time to myself. I am very much an introvert. I need, you know, my alone time. And he does his own things. Like, you know, he's really into guns and going to firing ranges and going hunting. So he doesn't make me go do that. Thank God. So, and I don't, you know, it's like, come play games with me. So we just have our own separate things. We do plenty of other things together, and we have two kids who, you know, drain the life out of us. So that's why, that's my big thing about playing. It's like, no, this is my thing. You go find your thing. Even though I kind of technically took this thing away from him. But to be honest, if he was really that into it, I couldn't have taken it away. We just most likely would have two sets of consoles in the house.
I was just going to say, you'd have two Xbox Ones, two PS4s.
Well, his uncle just gave him a PS3 he uses his PS his uncle uses his PS3 for like the media server, and he's like he never bought a Slim. He's like, did you know there was a Slim? So he just gave Sean his fat PS3. So Sean's gonna hook it up in our bedroom. So he's like, well, maybe I'll play something. I was like, well, good. You know, maybe Gabe can go down there and play instead of like try to. He'll get mad. Like, the other day I was playing Dragon Age and he wanted to play Lego Batman too. And I was like, well, I'm playing Dragon Age. He goes, well, you have your games case. Unhook the PS3 and put it in there. It's like, I'm not crawling back behind the TV to unhook it just so you can play Lego Batman too.
I like how your son is even dictating logic to you.
Yeah.
Well, you have the games case.
Yeah, well, I mean,
Oh.
it's true. I do. I can't argue with that. I do have it, but I'm not. The PS3 is, you know, there's a lot more cords behind the PS3 than there are with the PS4. The PS4 is super easy to pack in there because it's like the cords are so, like, there's not the power brick type thing. Like the Xbox One, as I learned from PAX East, PAX South, I'm not traveling with that ever again because of that. First of all, the thing is huge, and then the power brick is it's stupid how big it is. So this Valentine's Day, you know what I'll probably be doing?
Oh,
Talking to Cullen. Oh,
just
yeah.
I should probably get a rubber hose so I can just go ahead and get that vein to pop up a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah,
See, Cullen's looking at me right now because he's on my dual monitor. I got
is he?
Cullen on one screen and Garrus on the other. I just, you know, it's just a new smack just Bioware bitch in my office.
You probably should.
Yeah.
You could probably get it just like BioWare tattooed across your neck.
No,
Yeah.
see, that's too much.
Oh, you could do that, you know.
I could, but first of all, no tattoo on the neck.
No. I mean, you got to show your dedication because let's face it, I'm looking at your what we've been playing list, and it's small, really, really kind of small.
Well, yeah, because the addiction is real, man. I'm supposed to be reviewing a game this week, and it's not happening.
Oh, I like the look of shame right there.
Yeah, because every time it's like, well, I guess I should play a little bit, but or I can go back to where I was in Dragon Age and complete this couple of side quests. Yeah.
So, outside of the Dragon Age Inquisitioning, There is one other game there.
Yes.
I know that this is on there because it probably took like 10 minutes.
Took 2 hours, so be fair. Well, because it's an episodic game. I played the first episode of Life is Strange. I did that for review last week. I actually posted like a little mini review on the site. But this is, it's published by Square Enix, but it's not developed by them because really, does Square Enix develop stuff anymore? I guess Final Fantasy, that's about it. But it's an episodic game from this company called Don't Nod, and it brings an interesting, unique view on the point-and-click adventure, and that this girl, happenstance, gets the ability to rewind time. And they use it in a way that, yes, you can use it to, oh, wait, I don't like what I chose there. I'm going to back it up now and see if I choose something else. And you can do that, honestly, as many times as you want. So you figure out, like, this is what I'm going to do. And I think the cool thing about that is that you might think, okay, I picked the best answer for right now. But I'm like, what's going to – but is that the best answer in the long run? So that might be really interesting, especially, like, you know, because, you know, in a – oh, what was that game? A Walking Dead, when you do stuff you think is, you know, minor, and stuff pops up, it's like, they will remember that. You're like, what? Why? and sometimes in The Walking Dead, that was important, and sometimes it was not. It just got you thinking. Because, like, I love it when it's like, they will remember that, and then, like, the next scene, the person gets killed. So it's like, well, I guess I'm not going to remember it for very long. But it was one of those things where it just kind of got you thinking. And this game does that, too, where it's like, this will have consequences later. You're like, what kind of consequences? But the other cool thing about the rewinding time is that you can use it to, like, when I went snooping and was looking through this guy's files, then I could rewind time and put it back in like I had never touched it, but you retain everything that you've done. And when you pick up objects and rewind time, you still have the object in your hand. So if there's, like, a speed time, like you have a certain amount of time to do it and you just can't do it, you know, you wait till it's over, you do your thing, and then rewind time, and you still have that object in your hand so that you can do it in the proper time.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's very creative. And the other cool thing is that if you don't have the right answer to something, because, like, they'll ask you a question, you just don't know. And then you find the answer, then you rewind and go back to that point, and then when they ask you again, you now have the answer to give. So, and I think, and it seems like it's going to be, you know, obviously partly the supernatural idea and partly a murder mystery. So at first it was kind of like, okay, this is a Twilight wannabe because it's I know you've never read the books Twilight, but I read Twilight. It starts off with this girl who decides to leave the big city and go back to this small podunk town in the Great Northwest. Yes, it sounds just like Twilight. She has no confidence in herself. Mm-hmm. She doesn't get it that this cute boy really likes her. She doesn't even notice that he does. Yes. I mean, this is totally Twilight. And we got this whole angst. We got the Mean Girls. I was like, oh, is this Mean Girls meets Twilight? I mean, seriously. But then when you start unraveling the murder mystery and more stuff about her and how everything kind of intertwines. And even in this first episode, there were big reveals that shocked me. So I am really eager to see where this goes. So you like the point and click? I like the point and click, and you like stories. Like a story, like a game that really thrives on a narrative and a story, which is pretty much anything Telltale does. Then I highly recommend it. I mean, for the season pass, it's $20 for 5 episodes. It's not bad.
Yeah, I was just kind of holding out until it all comes out. Because, you know, like I did with The Walking Dead, I just plod right through it. So.
Right. And I did that with The Wolf Among Us. And I have to say, with The Wolf Among Us, I think that was the way to go. And that's what I'm doing with Tales from Borderlands. Like, I've gone ahead and bought the season pass and downloaded it as it comes, and then I'll just play it all at once. Because with those, and I may have the same issue with Life is Strange, like I may have to replay the whole thing just to kind of get the flow, because I feel like you forget. Like if I had to wait a month or 2 months, I would forget like what the flow is, where it's going, whereas The Wolf Among Us, I never got some of those lulls people were talking about. I was like, oh, this episode's not as good, but like, yeah, but I'm still riding on the high. The episode I just finished 2 minutes ago versus, you know, 2 months ago.
Yeah.
So I recommend it, but I also recommend Dragon Age 2. Not Dragon Age 2, the number 2, just Dragon Age also.
Also. All right. Well, let's see.
Yeah, don't you judge me. on my addiction.
Oh, I am judging. I am judging her.
You don't need to, because you need to, you know, tap that vein yourself, Elite Dangerous, mister.
Shit, I always do.
Oh, and the crew?
Oh, well, you know, hey. So, yes, Elite Dangerous is still on my list. They just released the 1.1 patch, which brought in City Lights on the Dark Side of Planets.
Is that important? Or is it just cool?
It just makes it look cool. Just like gas planets now have a little bit more gusto to them. They actually look pretty awesome. The big thing is that they brought in the community task, which is basically you can now start building star ports.
Okay.
So there's like, you know, everybody has to go, you have to get like enough minerals and money and all that stuff, and you can start building up a space station. And there's, I think, like 3 levels to it. So you get like a basic station and then you just kind of add on to it. So there's that. It's like in March we're going to get the Wings update, I do believe, which is the whole co-op thing. So now you'll have co-op missions where you have to have a party and you go out and take care of stuff. And so they just keep adding to the game. It makes it really good. It's been a lot of fun. And yes, I did place more of the crew because I saw that there's a PvP patch coming up.
I was about to ask you if you saw that.
I did. So I need to stop just driving around looking at all the pretty stuff and actually probably, like, you know, play the game.
Wow.
Hey, there's a lot to just drive around and do, and every once in a while I'll do a race, but, you know, I just do
so
a
you're either just flying around or you're driving around, is what it sounds like.
Mm-hmm. I also played Destiny. I played that with my brother.
So then you were shooting around.
And then I was shooting around. And I did it. I spent the 2 hours to download a fucking 25 gig game. It comes across as 12 thanks to compression. Thank you, Steam, for compression. And I started playing Dragon Age Origins.
Yay!
I had to start it twice, because I wasn't really jiving with it the first time. Although I made the same character. I don't know what clicked the second time around. But so I made a dwarf. I made him a peasant.
Oh, so he's castless?
Yeah, he's castless.
Ooh.
Yeah, yeah.
Most of the low.
I've already killed the dude above me. That was pretty cool. I forgot how bad the blood splatter was in this game.
You can turn that off.
Oh, no, it's hilarious, because, like, in the castle's dwarf thing, right? Like, they have two dwarves, and they got to fight against each other, right?
Yeah.
And it's like a little battle arena, and after the first fight, you're just covered in blood. I'm like, really?
Yeah.
You hit, like, one thing, and you can literally, on the PC version, I don't know how it is on the console one, but you hit, like, one thing, your guy would be all clean, and you can literally see the spots just appear.
Yeah. It's
like one swing spots. And you're like,
yes.
So
it's always great when you walk around and you start talking to people, and you're covered in blood.
Oh, like, yeah. Oh, and your dog is, like, just, you look like, it's terrible. You look like a mass murderer.
It's really awkward when you start the romance options when you're covered in blood. The thing is, like, can we just go shower first?
Oh, no. No! Sexing in the blood of your enemies.
So I didn't know you could turn it off in Dragon Age Origins. And I was playing Dragon Age 2, and I was warned in Dragon Age 2 that the blood effects are worse. And they are. It's like, when you, like, and it's worse in as in, like, the pools of blood that form when you kill something. There's, like, blood fountains. It's like a Quentin Tarantino Kill Bill movie. Blood fountains, huge, massive pools of blood. I was like, okay, yes, I actually do need a towel underneath my Xbox 360 because I'm afraid the blood's going to come out of the console. This is so awful.
Oh, my favorite was in that little battle arena. Like, your next opponent would show up, and all suddenly this pool of blood would just start forming.
Yes.
From where the other person had, you'd beat the other person. I was like, the person's not, is it just like, it just, it's like that stain in your carpet where it just won't go away, it just keeps coming back? I mean,
it's true.
I was just like,
So then I was like, Dragon Age 2, I'm like, oh, here we go, like, my character is covered in blood, again, and then Jen's like, you know, you can turn that off. I'm like, where? She told me where to turn it off, and it's called persistent gore. So, like, wow. So that was the first thing I did when I started Inquisition, was I went in and turned off the persistent gore. And so now even when I kill enemies, there's no blood pools. They evaporate. The enemy just will just fizzle up in the air.
Oh, isn't that cute?
Yes.
I'm going to walk around with my blood-stained armor like a fucking trophy.
Look at all the things I have killed, man.
I totally. And then when I get to the making out part, man, oh, I'm gonna record that, put in some great sexy music. Oh, it's gonna be beautiful.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever been probably the second most awkward I've ever been with the romance scene was romance when I finally got to romance Alistair, that scene, and I'm realizing I'm sitting between you and Ross. I'm like, please don't look at my screen. Please don't look at my screen. And Chris goes, what are you doing? Stop.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm yeah, I started that up. I'm at the point where usually I stop playing, which is the first town. But I'm gonna
Oh,
keep going.
loathering, loathering.
Yeah, that one. I am gonna keep going because I told Carrie I would try to do my best to beat this game. So I will trudge on.
And you know what? The first two times I played Dragon Age Origins, that's where I always stopped too, was loathering. It's just something about, I don't know, because Ostagar was kind of cool with that whole thing and Loghain's betrayal and all that. Then some of, when you get to loathering, it's like, it's just kind of this, all right. And now what? And it really took me the last time I played to force myself to start one of, progress the story. And then when I got that point, I was hooked. And then for whatever reason, I put the game down for 3 years. But but I think once you start really putting the story together, I think you'll be hooked into it.
Well, then we should end this that way because it's about lunchtime for me and I can load it up.
There you go. Just go clicky clicky while you eat.
Yeah.
Well, if you do that, that means I can get my work done more quickly, and then I can play some more Dragon Age Inquisition instead of my review because I'm a horrible person.
Head shakes of disapproval.
Okay, you know what? Legend of Zelda Majora's Mask will be here, what, Friday? Well, I guess with shipping, since it's with GameStop, maybe Monday. So my time is limited. My time, it, the end is coming.
You say that now.
I know. And then the order will come, and yeah. I'm going to have to play the order when that comes in just to make sure that it's not as awful as everybody says it is, because I think everybody hates the gameplay, but I'm a story gamer, so as long as the story is awesome. And the lead guy's mustache is pretty badass. I mean, it definitely is going to win Mustache of the Year if it wins nothing else.
That's a good award.
Yeah. So. Okay, so Chris and I can go play some more Dragon Age. We'll wrap this thing up. So we ask that you leave us a comment on this post. You can email us at strategyguidereviews@gmail.com with any questions or topics that you would like us to discuss. Check out our other podcast where Chris and I are not always drunk, but we're pretty happy, and we make fun of our friend Blake a lot. And then you can hear him talk more about Elite Dangerous. But it is the Evil Cast, and it's at gamesareevil.com. You can follow each of us at Twitter at Starvin, and I am at Crunchy Chocobo, and the site is at Strategy Reviews. We have just done a partnership with is it Games Wires? I don't remember. It's either Game Wires or Games Wire. I need to write this down. We just did a partnership with them where they were posting all those. Basically, they will post random content from sites that submit to them, just to kind of give more breadth to some of the smaller gaming sites. And they came to me, and so Strategy Guide Reviews is now on there. We are the only strategy guide site, so I think we're one of the only strategy guide sites out there to begin with. But so we are there as well. And of course, we ask you keep reading SGR. We're going to have some unboxing videos soon. Chris is working on Dying Light strategy guide review, and I just got the Evolve guide today. So she has some stuff coming. Be good times.
Oh yeah.
So, all right, we'll talk to you guys later.
And peace.